Take Me to War by Lynn Angel. Chapter 1. Burn It All Down to Ash. If we fail, we can never come back. We have a one-way ticket to the battlefield, which is why there is only one order I can give you all. Don't die. The three soldiers look at their commanding officer for a silent beat. Only one recognizes the words with a flash of memory and a hint of a smile. That is all, Mustang says. Three pairs of heels slap together, three hands rise in a salute, and they speak in unison. Aye, aye, sir. Then they each go about their tasks. Fury bends to rummage through a bag of communications equipment, weapons, and the cloths they will use to hide their faces in the dark. Breda checks coordinates on a map he withdraws from an inside pocket of his coat. Hawkeye pulls her left side pistol and checks the ammunition. For probably the 15th time in an hour. Of course, he notices. He notices everything about her, always, just taking in the sight of her, standing so close after so long, sitting in Havoc's hospital room the week before, separated from her only by a curtain, knowing she knew he was there, had been one of the moments that most tested his resolve. He had been close enough to smell her shampoo, but hadn't been able to speak a word. The surveillance team is watching them have been so close. He hasn't seen her in a month. She hasn't been okay, and he hasn't been able to lift a finger to protect or comfort her. Now she stands before him, every inch the confident soldier he's always relied on. She bends to scratch Hayate's ears, and he steps closer, looking down at her. It's good to see you, Lieutenant, he says quietly. The others remain purposefully engrossed in their own work. Would have wished for better circumstances, of course, he adds with a smirk. Hawkeye looks up and gives a wry smile. It's a perfect night for a little kidnapping and insurrection, wouldn't you say, sir? She stands, then speaks quietly. It's good to see you too, sir. They hold one another's gaze for a moment too long. Then Mustang clears his throat. We'd better get moving, he says gruffly. Hawkeye nods, her spine straightening. Breda and Fury hoist their packs and head down the tunnel. Mustang turns to follow, but her voice holds him back. Sir! He raises an eyebrow, inviting her to speak. You don't die either. Her voice is soft, and her eyes gleam in the dim light. Mustang chuckles. Who's giving the orders now, Lieutenant? He starts down the tunnel again, then turns his head, speaking over his shoulder. Besides, I'm not worried. You're still watching my back. Hawkeye breathes a quick sigh of relief as she lowers her weapon away from Bradley's wife. A bluff, of course, but not one she's enjoying enacting. She watches as Mustang kneels before the distraught woman. Was it my husband who abandoned me? She asks, tears in her eyes. I don't know, ma'am, Mustang lies with a shake of his head. I don't know, but I promise that we will protect your life, no matter what. Hawkeye had known that he'd never hurt Bradley's wife, because she is innocent in everything, but she'd hated holding that gun against an innocent woman's head. And when all of this is over, Mustang continues, you can prove to the good people of this nation that we weren't the ones who crossed the line. And damn it, Risa wonders just for a moment whether he is right. Has kidnapping Bradley's wife crossed the line? She'd argued against the plan from the start, and had only agreed when Mustang promised that she would be the only one to hold a weapon on Mrs. Bradley. She is the person he could trust to never pull the trigger. His eyes are so black in his determination. Would he have ordered to shoot Mrs. Bradley, if it came down to it? Will he give that order, even now, after assuring the woman again of her safety? And will Hawkeye follow an order to spill innocent blood? No. Never again. She'd promised. Mustang had promised, and she'd promised to do her duty if he strayed from his righteous path. Hawkeye feels the weight of her gun, perhaps more heavily than she ever has. Will his better nature continue to prevail in the heat of battle, this close to accomplishing all of his goals, with so much chaos and so many unknowns still looming? Will she shoot him in the back if he strays? They progress further and further into the city. Again and again, Mustang repeats the order, no casualties. Each time she hears the words, Hawkeye's resolve strengthens. His attacks are so focused, so controlled. He displays a level of skill and restraint that even she has never seen. Surely, she'd imagined the darkness in his eyes. When Risa sees his face transform at the reappearance of Maria Ross, at the sound of Havoc's voice over the phone, her gun feels lighter again in her hand. Yes, this is still the Roy Mustang she's known nearly all of her life. This is the hero he was always meant to be. Surely.
Who killed Maes Hughes?
The hair at the back of her neck stands on end, and Hawkeye glances sideways at her colonel, her weapon still trained on the homunculus, her mind racing. As the conversation continues, she can feel the situation escalating out of her control. This is a variable she somehow hasn't counted on. For Mustang to come face to face with Hughes' killer now, in the midst of the battle all around them. When the homunculus changes its form to sprout Gracia's face, Hawkeye feels bile rise in her throat. She can feel the rage building in Mustang. Her heart is beating faster now than it has at any point on the battlefield of Central City. Why are her instincts screaming at her? Why does she not recognize the man she sees in Mustang's clothing? I'm going to burn you to ash, starting with your tongue. The heat of his first attack floods the chamber, and Hawkeye feels sweat drip down her face as Edward asks, Lieutenant, are you sure the two of you can handle this? We'll manage somehow, she mutters, even as Mustang's flame roar to life again. If we can't, then... Mustang has been practicing with flame alchemy, and she feels her stomach flop as the realization drops into her stomach like a stone. He has been practicing so that he can fulfill his promises, show finesse with his attacks to preserve life. But also, he's been practicing for this very moment. She can feel it in her bones. Is the man she's devoted her life to about to become a monster, serving only revenge, right before her eyes? With great power comes great responsibility, and if he doesn't hold firm now, I know what I'll have to do. She tells Full Metal to leave. But she doesn't miss his low mutter. It's not Mustang losing that worries me. Me either. Stay back, Lieutenant. He's like a predator playing with his food. His next attack targets Envy's eyes. Then Envy flees, taunting him, and Mustang pursues. Damn it! She follows after him, despite his warnings, and she knows in her bones, that he wants to be able to torture and maim this beast without her there to witness his bloodlust. She loses them in the labyrinth and sticks to the shadows, winding her way through the maze, listening, every sense alight. Then, as she starts to round a corner, suddenly she's pointing her gun at his face, staring into his lifeless eyes as she sees his fingers poised, ready to snap. Oh, she mutters, quickly lowering her weapon, relieved to have found him. He grunts and turns away from her. I told you not to follow me, Lieutenant. Sorry, sir, but I couldn't just sit back and wait. The tension between them is thick, and something is wrong, wrong, wrong. He's grumbling about Envy getting away, then gives an order. Don't leave my side, Lieutenant. Follow me. And then she just knows. Mustang's mental state is so far off right now. His eyes, it suddenly hits her. His eyes had been gleaming, but deadened, just the way they were in Ishval. Killer's eyes. But the being in front of her has no shame, no fear, no regret in its eyes, and she knows, because she knows him so well. She doesn't think before pointing her gun at the back of its head. He protests, and in the brief flicker of doubt, inspiration strikes her. She has to check. Has to be very sure. The colonel calls me Risa when we're alone. It's a bluff, a gambit, because he does, rarely, but it works anyway, because Envy reveals itself. She shoots, a headshot, slowing it down, reaches for her two side arms, and unloads them both, one shot after another. There is no time to reload, and she's too slow to reach for her shotgun. She barely feels the razor-sharp talon pierce her shoulder, as her nose fills with the scent of her own blood. She fires again, but she knows she's running out of ammunition too quickly. Then it's wrapping those sharp talons around her, and for a moment she's certain this is it. This is how she dies. Then the world around her explodes, and he's there. Her colonel. Her Roy. Saving her at the last moment, again. What are you doing to my precious subordinate? His voice is cold with rage, and he barely takes his eyes off the enemy when he addresses her. Don't be reckless, Lieutenant. I said I would take care of it. She meets his gaze and sees them, his killer's eyes, but then his attention is diverted from her, and he is terrible in his fury. When the flames clear and the small lizard-like creature that is Envy emerges, she gasps in horror at the strangeness of it, even as Mustang crushes the thing beneath his boot. Her shoulder hurts and her mind is racing, but she hears the pathetic, pitiful voice begging for its life, and she knows the moment she's dreaded has come. She's reloading her primary weapon with speed, her fingers acting without conscious thought. She pulls her gun on Mustang, aiming at the back of his head, for real this time. The sound of her cocking the pistol causes him to freeze, his hand raised to deal a fatal blow to the pathetic creature beneath his boot. What is the meaning of this, Lieutenant? He already knows. They've been building towards this moment all night, all day, all year. He's lost himself in grief, rage, vengeance, and all the careful control he's exercised up until he confronted Envy is gone. She can't obey when he orders her to lower her weapon, and her hand is amazingly steady as she points it at the love of her life. Please, if there was ever a god, please don't make me do this. Her voice is level in contrast to his rage. Please put down your hand. She wants to cry and plead and beg him not to make her do this, but they're at a crossroads. She can't allow him to take the life of a helpless creature begging for mercy, no matter what it's done. He won't come back from that. He won't be able to control himself. He's always known he was capable of losing himself to the terrible power he wields. That's why he's trusted her with this awful burden. She's warring with herself inside her head. She can't let him lose his humanity to this desire for vengeance. Then his killer eyes are fixed on her as he shouts, I'm not joking! I said lower your gun! She sees his fingers twitch, start to form the deadly snapping motion, and she's got less than a second. Her own fingers squeezing the trigger. The blast of Edward's alchemy forces them both to look away, and Risa has never been more grateful in her life to see another person. They're all arguing, trying to convince him in their own ways, and she's desperate, praying they're not too late, that he's not so far gone he can't return. He's threatening Edward, this boy, this child they both tried to protect. Scar's words seem to have some effect. She sees Mustang's shoulders tense. She pleads with him, her fingers still on the trigger of the gun pointed at his head. I won't let you kill Envy, sir. I have no intention of letting it live, either. I'll finish it off. But after all this time, he rages, I've finally got the killer cornered. I know, she shouts. But right now your actions aren't for the good of the country or even your own comrades. Cold-blooded hatred, that's what's driving you. For the first time, her voice breaks. Please, Colonel. You mustn't take that path. Roy, don't make me do this. If you want to shoot me, go ahead. She stops breathing. But what will you do after I'm dead? He knows the answer, and with a flicker of hope, she realizes he needs to hear it. It's the only thing that can save him right now. His devotion to her. I have no intention of living on alone. After this battle is over, I will erase my life, along with the secrets of flame alchemy that have driven good men to madness. Come back to me, Roy. Don't let it rule you like it ruled Father. Don't ruin both our lives, everything we've worked for. Don't take away our last chance. She almost shoots when he snaps his fingers. But the flames peter out quickly as they flare into the wall, harming no one. I can't allow that. I'm not losing you, too. She barely hears his next words, and now her hand is shaking as she continues to point it at him. Because she has to be sure. She has to be absolutely sure. Lower your gun, Lieutenant. I'm sorry. His hand covers hers, and then he slumps to the floor. A moment passes. Then she hits her knees as well. She's never been so scared. Never been so relieved. Never been so angry, so happy, so horrified. We were that close to losing everything.